except the whooping cough, and of course that was bad with all of them.
You say you don't remember much about Jim except his tearing up downstairs and tearing around. What was he tearing about?
He was always tearing around. I mean, he never could walk. He could never go quietly.
Why?
Well, that was just his disposition. If he was coming down the street, he was running instead of walking. And he was particularly fond of dogs and animals.
Like me.
Like you. And boats. I can remember boats and dogs and animals. And he worked for months after school to get that money to buy that stuff to make that kayak.
Did he ever have any dogs?
He used to go down here to the pound and copy after you and bring a dog home, and he'd have a box, he'd have a dog house made out in the yard. Oh, very elaborately made. Spend an awful lot of time over making it and all. And he'd get one of these mongrel dogs in it, and the poor dog would only last a week or two, because I think those dogs down there are about half dead anyhow. And what they weren't half dead, Pop would, maybe they'd howl for a night or two, and then they'd be given the gate.
Oh, you'd just kick them out?
Yeah.
All together, we had loads of dogs in the course of the year.
I've always thought I'd like a dog now, myself. At least he put me out if I had a dog, too.
Well, then maybe that's where he got it. You always kind of welcomed the dog, didn't you?
I always liked the dog. I always had a dog as a child. Always wanted a dog.
What kind of a dog did you have?
Well, my father had these big hunting dogs. And he usually would have a smaller type dog for me. That we'd have in the house.
Poodle?
Little poodle or fox terrier or something like that. So the time that Winifred was very sick, her father got her a dog. That was the only time we really had a dog that was allowed in the house.
Why didn't he allow him in the house?
Well, he don't like animals, for one thing. And I always told him there's something the matter with him because he didn't like animals. But and then another thing, they weren't sanitary in a house with a lot of children in it, and in a city.
Yeah.
There was no place for them to run. There was no place to keep them. There was no place for them to put them out. And you put them in the cellar. We did try it. You put them in the cellar, and then the cellar would stink.
Yeah.
And it really was impractical, that's all. We'd have been out in the country or someplace where we should have been. Could probably have had a dog.
Did you ever talk about getting out in the country?
We went out every spring looking for places. And then we'd come home and we'd go off to sea off of the summer. And we'd forget the country. I've always felt we should have been in the country, but here was convenient, see. They could walk to high school from here. And then when Frank went to St. Joe's College, he could even walk there. And now Paul going to Penn, he's walking to Penn. So that it was rather a convenient location. And then afterwards, after there were so many of them to be educated and to be thought of, I was very happy that we were in the city rather than someplace way out on the outskirts where they had a lot of car fare to pay, because it was a problem.
Yeah.
Money.
Well, didn't they have bicycles to ride to school?
Yes, they had bicycles. But in the traffic of the city, they were rather dangerous.
But there was always velocipedes and
kitty cars.
Yeah. And
push wagons.
A pile of them around the yard.
Yeah.
In the back street. Express wagon.
Express wagon. I was going to come home with you, you know. And they got the message into me in the hospital about 10 or 11 o'clock at night. The man in the hospital didn't want to connect me. But when they told him what it was, that they wanted to tell me that they had a cablegram from Frank that he was coming to, he let them through, and I got the message. So
did
that
you see it in the paper, too, the next morning?
No, I didn't see the paper, but I knew you were coming. But this was to tell me that Frank was also coming. Of course, I was overjoyed, you know, that Frank was coming. It was about a week after that I was out of the hospital, but I think I was in there about 3 weeks altogether. And then everybody told you, you know, how terrible it was and all this, that, and the other thing. And somebody else was going to the hospital for the same thing, some time ago, about 6 months ago. And I said to them, look, the first 3 days are bad afterwards, but after that it's all right. And it'll gradually come along, you know. But I couldn't, at the time, I didn't know what was going on. I mean, after all, I had carried them for over 30 years. And I said, well, I didn't want to go to the hospital now, after all that time. But I did, and I had to go for some sort of relief. And they did relieve me very much.
What were you going to say about that last 2 days before Jimmy left? Did you never forget that?
Never forget the last day that Jimmy was home. Jimmy was doing the floors, sanding the floors and doing them up for me. And I think he was really doing them to keep himself busy and to keep himself away from talking to me. He knew that the time was coming for him to leave.
Yeah.
And he didn't want to have any conversation about it. So the last day that he was home, we knew he was leaving the next morning, I said to him, now look, put that thing down. Take it back where you borrowed it from, the sander. And I said, come in here and sit down and talk to me. So we went into the parlor, and I sat in that blue chair. And I said to him, don't you want me to go to the boat and see you off? And he said, no, Mother, I wish you wouldn't. He said, I wish you would stay right here. I said, Jim, have I ever made a fuss of crying or going on when any of you left, and that I knew that you were going out to do God's work, and that I wanted you to go, even though I missed you, yourself? And he said, no, but I would just as soon you didn't go. And I said, well, Jim, if your father goes, if your father takes the car and goes, I am going. If he doesn't, all right, I won't go. And Jim said, well, all right, whatever you want. And I said, don't be afraid that I'll cry or make a fuss over things. I said, I won't. And with that, he got up and came over and sat on the arm of that blue chair and put his arms around me. And the two of us sat there with my arms around him and his arms around me. And I always called that blue chair and still call that blue chair my shrine, because he put his head down on my shoulder and really was a little boy again, practically, fell over from the arm of it and sat in my lap, and we sat there together. And I'll always remember that day before Jim left. And I did go to the boat. We were there the whole day, and then he didn't go the next morning. And then the next morning he called me up before he said Mass and said he was going to say Mass, and then the boat was to sail at 6:30 that morning. But we spent the whole day on that pier. Cold day it was, too. And yet they didn't leave. But I know Jim remembers it. Very often I write to him and remind him of it, but I've never had much of any word from him about it. But I know that it means something to him.
Anything more special about Jim?